Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up on the day the 41st president is memorialized, we'll ask whether any political leader can unite America. But first, voters are marching in state capitals where a change of political power is imminent. This is what it sounds like in Madison, Wisconsin.
Protect our vote! Protect our vote! Protect our vote! Protect our vote!
Lawmakers have been in session all night in Madison. They're also back in lame duck legislative sessions in Ohio and Michigan, and they're moving to limit the power of the new leaders who are coming in. Why? Because those incoming politicians are from the opposite party. Political observers are calling it a naked power grab. Journalist Russell Berman, who will join us in a minute, notes in The Atlantic that both parties have tried to extend their legislative influence when power is shifting. But he adds, until recently, it has been rarer for a party to act so punitively toward its opponents after a defeat. So what's changed, and why do these lame duck politicians have anything to fear from voters, do they? We're turning to Russell Berman. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic and clearly been writing about this. Russell, welcome back to the show. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to be with you.
Let's explain what's happening in the state capitals. And we've been hearing a lot of coverage in our region about what's happening in Wisconsin. What's going on in Michigan and Ohio, where in Michigan they're seeing governors and statewide office holders coming in from the opposite party? Are they doing what is being done in Wisconsin and Michigan?
Right. Well, in Michigan, they're not going quite as far as they are in Wisconsin, but they are considering legislation that would shift the power to intervene in litigation, for example, about the Affordable Care Act, from the governor back to the legislature, which is still controlled by Republicans. Democrat Gretchen Whitmer won the governorship in Michigan last month. She'll be replacing Republican Rick Snyder, so that is a shift in control. And as in Wisconsin, the Republican legislature in Michigan is at least considering and I think moving pretty quickly toward taking back some of that power. They've also, this doesn't relate as much to the governor, but they have acted on legislation basically to restrict the ability of a ballot initiative to raise the minimum wage and to enact paid sick leave. This is something that they started doing before the election, but essentially it would limit the power of the voters at the ballot box to implement these policies.
They're also doing that in Ohio, where there is not the wider change of power to a different political party, but they are moving to limit the capability that Ohio voters have in putting constitutional amendments on the ballot, yes?
Right. And so this is, and we're seeing this in other states where in the last several years you've seen ballot initiatives, whether to expand Medicaid, whether to raise the minimum wage across states, both red and blue. And you're seeing legislators now trying, you know, predominantly in the Republican Party, trying to essentially recapture that power to say, hey, this is a republic. This is not a direct democracy. These ballot initiatives have gone too far. And, you know, we're the ones that have been vested with the power or should be vested with the power to decide these policies. It's a little bit of a different, a different issue than what's going on where Republican legislators are just simply trying to take power from incoming Democratic governors. In one instance, you have the legislature versus the governor. In another instance, you have the legislature essentially versus the people themselves.
As noted in your piece for The Atlantic, and I covered our state capitol here for many years, I have seen state legislators try to extend their influence by passing legislation, you know, into the next administration. I've never seen anything like what's going on in Wisconsin. Have you?
Well, the most recent example is 2 years ago in North Carolina, where you had a similar situation. You had a Republican governor who was defeated. Pat McCrory was the Republican. He was defeated in his bid for reelection by Democrat Roy Cooper. The Republicans have a huge majority in the state legislature in North Carolina. And so after the 2016 election, they acted very aggressively to essentially neuter Governor Cooper's ability to make appointments to his cabinet without the approval of the legislature. They did a number of things. Now they were successful in passing and enacting these policies, but now there have been legal challenges, and so some of them are still being worked out by the courts. And the expectation is that the same thing will happen in Wisconsin, assuming that these changes go through.
We have a call from a listener, I think specifically about that. So, Russell, I'll go to Kathy in Minneapolis. Kathy, what do you want to know?
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I've had two questions related to this power grab thing that's been bugging me. Because it's erupted in many states all at the same time, question number one is this an initiative or a effort on the backed by ALEC or proposed by ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council?
Okay.
Number two is, the new legislator or governor, can they pass bills to revoke these initiatives, or I'm sure there are going to be court challenges?
Okay.
So I'd like to hear the thoughts on that.
Got that. So is there some kind of coordinated move here, do you think, Russell?
So that I can't answer that right now. I don't know for sure, but certainly these bills is a 141-page plan that came together in just a few weeks, even a few days. And so I think there is going to be some reporting or some digging in to see if these were coordinated efforts by the organization that the caller mentioned. But as of right now, I can't say definitively whether that's the case.
And she's asking, can the new chief, the governor, the new statewide office holders come in and revoke or overturn this legislation? But they'd need to get it through the legislature itself, wouldn't they?
Right. I mean, so I guess the options are two. One, they could go through the normal legislative process where they could try to use whatever leverage they have in with other issues to demand that the Republicans, you know, repeal or change the laws that they just passed before Tony Evers, the Democrat, took office. Or more likely what you're going to see is lawsuits either from Tony Evers, the incoming governor himself, or from constituent advocacy groups who are going to challenge the validity of some of these, if not all of these measures and just have the courts weigh in on this balance of power question, because that's really what the issue is here. Should the power to do all of the things that the legislature is trying to take back, should it be vested with the legislature or should it be vested with the governor?
If you've just gotten in on the show, we're talking with Russell Berman about this news that we've been getting throughout the night from the state capital of Madison, Wisconsin, and some of what's going on in some other state capitals on lame duck sessions where lawmakers are coming in to pass laws to restrict the scope of power that the new office holders will have when they come in. Russell, I don't understand why these lawmakers are not worried about voter accountability. I mean, I don't care what party you're from. This really looks unfair. Why aren't they worried about how voters will see this?
They seem to be gambling by doing this in a rushed fashion, doing it literally overnight in the dark of night in the early morning hours. They seem to be betting that voters will forget that this, you know, in our fast moving news cycle, that when the next elections come up in the next 2 years, that, you know, this will be ancient history. Now that's, you know, the Democrats will take that bet for now. I mean, if you look at North Carolina, what happened is the Democrats did make gains in this year's election. That's 2 years after what the Republicans did in the aftermath of the 2016 elections, and they ended the Republican supermajorities in the legislature. So they did exact some sort of political price if you sort of argue that this was one of the issues that the voters were casting their ballots on.
And I'll say, you know, I mean, you know how tumultuous the politics have been in Wisconsin. Voters there, both sides, have long memories, right? And they organize around that. So it's going to be intriguing to see what happens. Yeah, you want to say? I thought you were going to add something. Go ahead.
And you see very high voter turnout in parts of Wisconsin. I mean, in Madison, in the last election, I think the turnout was something like 94%. So they are taking a big risk here that they are going to be poking the bear even more. And the Senate is pretty closely divided in Wisconsin, only 18 Republicans to 15 Democrats. So that is going to be a big issue going forward.
Russell, thanks much. Good to have your view on this, and I appreciate the writing on it.
Thank you.
Russell Berman is a staff writer at The Atlantic, giving us his view on what's been happening in Madison, Wisconsin, and in state capitals around the country.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. You can add your voice to the discussion by calling in at 800-242-2828 or tweeting us at Kerri, K-E-R-R-I, NPR. To hear more conversations like this, subscribe to our podcast. And thanks!